fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I want to talk today again about the reading that we're given on Sunday, the gospel reading, the story of the raising of Lazarus. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program yesterday, I began by talking about both the passage Romans 8 that was given to us on Sunday and then just touched at the end of the program on Lazarus. So I'd like to pick up that story today. If you didn't have a chance to tune into yesterday's program, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are archived there. You can listen to them right on your computer or download them and onto whatever device works for you and listen to them whenever it's convenient. So the story of Lazarus, it's a long passage taken from John's Gospel, chapter 11. It's a beautiful story. And in it, what we see is Martha and Mary and Lazarus, they were friends of Jesus. They were from Bethany. And Lazarus dies, and he's in the tomb for 4 days. Jesus hears about the fact that he died, and Martha and Mary were praying and hoping that Jesus would come when Lazarus was sick and when he died so that Jesus could heal him or could raise him. But Jesus comes, and it just seems like it's too late. He's already in the tomb. The stone is covering the tomb. Martha and Jesus are engaging. Martha's so direct. She's frustrated, basically saying to Jesus, I mean, I thought you were our friend. Master, why didn't you come? And then Jesus tries to reassure her. This beautiful passage here where it talks about Jesus weeps over his friend's death. You see the humanity of Christ, the love that's in his heart for his friend. And Martha's so frustrated. But Jesus said that he will rise. Here's a great foreshadowing of the resurrection of Jesus Christ himself from the dead. And it's so much is revealed in this passage. Jesus' love for us, Jesus' love for, that is, his friends. He calls us friends, Scripture says, right? He no longer calls us slaves, but we're friends. Jesus' love for the Father is revealed. Jesus is teaching to us and the importance of believing in him. And the key to being able to enter into what we're witnessing with the life of Lazarus, with his being raised, is to believe in Jesus, to trust in him, to believe that he's the one who has power over life and death. And then we see the demonstration of Christ's power when he speaks to a dead man and a dead man hears his voice. There's no one like Jesus, friends. There's absolutely no one like Jesus. He's not just a wise teacher. He's not just a loving historical figure who moves our hearts because of his kindness and the like. He's the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords. He's come to deal with the problem of death. He's come to destroy death's power. He's going to swallow up death in victory in his own life, and he's going to disarm the principalities and powers, St. Paul tells us. He's going to make a public show of Satan and a mockery of Satan when he lays down his life, when he dies on a cross and destroys the devil's power through the shedding of his blood and making it possible for us to live in freedom and victory. Only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus. And so often, friends, even baptized Catholics get really confused about what's at the heart of all this and what really is the road to salvation. So many Catholics, like society in general, seem to think that everybody, pretty much everybody, is already in a great place with God, and that if there's an afterlife, everybody's going to that afterlife by virtue of the fact that they're just good people, that they're nice people, that they never killed anybody, they didn't do anything drastic, and so it's good. Life is good. I'm good. I'm good before God, and God's good with me. God's good with the choices I've made in my life, and people have a kind of presumption that they stand in right relationship to God, and it's just not true. It's a terrible lie. The whole reason Jesus came is because no man, no woman stands in right relationship with God on their own, apart from God's mercy, apart from God's grace, to bring them into right relationship with God. All have sinned, Scripture says, and fall short of the glory of God. That's really true. To fall short of the glory of God, it's not just a sort of a flowery biblical phrase. To fall short of the glory of God means human beings who are made to share in God's life in some way, to be in God's presence, to be able to behold His glory, His renown, His majesty, His greatness, and to be united to Him. We have fallen from that. We can't rise to it. Jesus has come to restore us to glory. And the glory and the power and the capacity to rise to our destiny is in a person. It's not in me, generically. It's not in the world. It's not something we create or we conjure up through our own wisdom and understanding. Nobody can access it on their own. So what we see here in the story of Lazarus is the one who has the power over death itself being revealed. So I want to take up partway through the reading. It says, when Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, only about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary sat at home. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. There's faith, right? In the midst of what is clearly an impossible situation, and Martha's heart is broken and she's frustrated, but she knows at the end of the day, even though she's disappointed that the Lord wasn't there, and she expresses her honesty from her heart, she knows something. And what she knows is she knows who Jesus is. And that knowing is faith. She knows that whatever Jesus asks God the Father will give him. She believes. Let's read on. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise. Martha said to him, I know he will rise in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. The whole point of the Lazarus story, and Jesus will say it later as he prays to the Father, is for this moment. It's a time where Jesus is revealing who he is. What's the bottom line? What's Christianity all about? Who is Jesus? Why is he here? He's revealing himself. Who is he? He said, I am. This is who I am. I'm the resurrection and I am the life. He didn't say, I'm just a prophet sent by God. He didn't say, I'm just an honest person who's got some wisdom to share with you. He didn't say he was a spiritual guru. What he said was he's the resurrection and the life. Martha understood somehow that at the end there will be a resurrection on the last day. And Jesus saying, the reason there is a resurrection is because of me. That's me. I'm the one who can raise people from the dead. And he said, listen, this is how it can come to you. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. He's speaking directly to you, friend. He's speaking to you and to me. He's saying, Peter, if you believe in me, you will never die. And then he raises the question, do you believe this? He's asking his friend, Martha, do you believe this? That's the question he asks you. Do you believe this? That Jesus alone is the resurrection and the life. He alone is the hope for the human race. He's your hope, and he's come to give you the gift of eternal life. And what he asks from you, what he demands, what he commands from you, is that you believe, that you radically entrust your life to him. Do you believe this? He asks her. She said to him, yes, Lord, I've come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world. I've come to believe, her friend said, that you indeed are the anointed one. You're the Messiah of Israel. I believe. When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, secretly saying, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and went to him, for Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still where Martha had met him. So when the Jews who were with her in the house comforting her saw Mary get up quickly and go out, they followed her, presuming that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he became perturbed and deeply troubled, and he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Sir, come and see." And Jesus wept. How about that? Those three words. And Jesus wept. He wept for his friend. He wept over the reality of the power of sin. He weeps for you and he weeps for me. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died?" So Jesus, perturbed again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay across it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the dead man's sister, said, "Lord, by now there will be a stench. He's been dead for 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believe, you'll see the glory of God?" Friends, you're made for God's glory. You cannot get there on your own. Jesus is saying this to you. If you believe in him, you will see God's glory. That's what you're made for. That's what your heart longs for. That's where you will find fulfillment. This is his promise to you. So they took away the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me." The intimacy and the confidence and the security of Jesus' relationship to the Father. I want to talk about this tomorrow, but this is the gift that he wants to give to all of us by making us sons and daughters of the Father. Listen to the intimacy and the confidence in Jesus' words. "Father, I thank you for hearing me. I know that you always hear me. But because of the crowd here, I have said this, that they may believe that you sent me." And when he said this, he cried out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" You imagine that moment, friends, in that dark tomb? Everyone's staring. Jesus speaks into that darkness. And the passage says the dead man came out, tied hand and foot with burial bands, and his face was wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said, "Untie him and let him go. Unbind him." Friends, that's what sin does. It binds us. That's what death does. It binds us. It destroys us. And Jesus speaks to us, and he will speak to us on the last day. If we have died in him, we will rise in him, Paul says. And it's that man, it's that voice that will speak your name, and he will command you to come forth, and you will come from death to life by the power of his command. Blessed be Jesus Christ. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.